From Albuquerque, New Mexico, and the Balloon Fiesta, welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, is too much cycling bad for your health? New research adds some weight to this long-running debate.
We've also got the results of the first ever European Mechanics Championships.
Whoa!
The inaugural Cool Head of the Week Award, and the reason why a top triathlete isn't going to win the Tour de France. He doesn't want to take a pay cut. This week, in the world of cycling, we learned that while Tadej Pogačar was winning his fourth straight Il Lombardia, one of cycling's five monuments, as part of his near-perfect 25-win year, Tom Pidcock was on the sidelines having been deselected in an almost unprecedented move from his team, Ineos Grenadiers.
Yeah, the rumour mill has been working overtime. Is he leaving? Has he been sacked? Is he being punished for leaving a load of crisp packets on the team bus?
Exactly. We don't know, do we?
No, we don't know. No, what we do know, though, is that Ellie is a bit grumpy. Yes, one of the top cyclocross riders. Did you like that, by the way?
I love that, yeah.
Thanks, yeah. One of the top cyclocross riders in Belgium was disqualified at the weekend, literally pulled out mid-race, no less, for having a tantrum and stamping on a competitor's back wheel after the pair crashed on a descent.
Not a good look, that.
Oh,
really,
God.
Is it? And hopefully he leaves his legs to do the talking for the rest of the season. Thankfully, he's so small, there's probably little damage to the wheel, was there?
Well, I mean, frankly, mate, the issue was that his legs did do the talking, didn't they? Because I mean, he actually stomped on that guy's bike.
He did, yeah.
Yes.
It wasn't nice to watch,
no.
I say. We also learned that the backpack that hopes to make you faster by acting as an aero parachute has almost reached its funding target on Kickstarter thanks to 18 brave souls backing it.
My mind is blown.
But sadly, the Titan Vanguard comfort-based e-cargo bike hasn't.
No. In fact, only one person has backed it.
How much for?
To the tune of a pound.
A pound?
£1, yes.
Might be saving us all in the long run, though.
Well, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Although, maybe comfort-based cycling is what we all need. This week's talk at the coffee machine has been about whether too much riding can, in fact, be bad for you.
Yeah, two reasons for this. I read an article that I actually sent over to Dan at the weekend, pre-coffee machine, if you like, which questioned whether or not his strategy, not specifically Dan's, but the strategy that Dan is following for eternal youth, might be flawed. Within it, there was a particular point that was relevant, okay? So there was mention of a new scientific paper, which is yet to be peer-reviewed, we should say, which looks at twins and found that people who exercise a lot were biologically older than those who were moderate exercisers.
Although, you know, I did read this article you sent over. I don't feel like I'm in immediate danger of the over-exercising part.
No, I mean, that is true, okay? Then a second article on Medscape, which looked at whether, in this case, lifelong runners were more likely to have coronary artery calcium, which can be an indicator of cardiovascular health.
Mm. At no point in this article was there any link between coronary artery calcium and death, more that there seems to be a link between it and exercise, even if the protective effects of exercise vastly outweigh any potential negatives from this.
Yes, and I think that's the point, isn't it? It seems like doing crazy things in the name of cycling should take its toll on the human body. But actually, that doesn't seem to be the case at all. Do you remember when we took Mark Beaumont, one of the world's most extreme exercisers, to see a team of cardiac specialists?
I vaguely remember it. I seem to remember it was quite underwhelming.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was, wasn't it? He was fine, basically. Yeah. After all his exploits, he was absolutely fine. Reassuringly, we should add. I mean, that was effectively what we wanted to see. But it seems like there is no evidence yet that too much cycling is bad for you in the long term. And overwhelmingly, doing any exercise, and particularly doing cycling, has incredibly powerful beneficial effects.
Definitely. And there's that now famous study, isn't there, from here in the UK, that looked at hundreds of thousands of people, which found a link between those that cycled to work and lower rates of all-cause mortality.
Yeah. However, there's a but here, isn't there? Because short term, there are potential risks from extreme exercise. So if you suddenly do an epic ride with minimal prep, that can absolutely leave you with an injury, if not, you know, cardiovascular disease, whatever.
Oh, yeah, we have heard of those. Although this does make me think, you also called me last week to ask if I'd be up for a mega long ride next. I'm starting to be pissed off that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you did say no, I think. What was it? What were your words? I can't imagine anything worse.
For reasons of health.
Yes.
I'm now fine.
Well, so I have had a few overuse injuries.
Right.
Achilles tendonitis after doing the North Coast 500 in 3 days.
You got ankle injuries. That surprises me. I thought you were the sort of bomb-proof ankles.
I mean, you would hope that these bad boys would be bomb-proof, but looks can be deceiving. I got neck pain after further east. That was although thankfully that went away after a week or so. And also I couldn't go up or downstairs, which is the first time it's ever happened to me.
Really?
After a bike ride. Yeah, but that went away after a little bit.
Ollie's got wrist pain, hasn't he?
A wrist injury?
A wrist injury,
was that from cycling?
Yeah. To be clear, this came about actually after his epic Monte Grappa challenge, which hopefully quite a few of you have watched.
Yeah. And frankly, it's a miracle that it's only tendonitis in his wrist that he's got after that. Utterly, utterly bonkers achievement, wasn't
definitely
it?
Definitely. One of the funny things, though, isn't it, about ultra endurance cycling, we know that half the battle, more than half, I guess, is mental, isn't it? And often you can push through niggles and they don't come back to haunt you.
No, they don't. That's true. But then sometimes you get to the end and find that you actually have done something really bad. And I don't know whether you can tell when you're out on the road what the difference is between a niggle that's going to go away again and then one that's going to come back and haunt you for the next 6 months.
Well, there are times when you've got a niggle and you step up the bike, that's fine. There are other times when you have a niggle and you step up the bike, like, oh, it's really, really bad.
That is true. I think a lot of it's up here.
Quite possibly. Yeah, I must be weak up there.
I mean, I didn't want to say, but...
Interestingly, we got a message from someone who put themselves out of action for 6 whole months because they had lost all sensation in one of their feet, I think it was.
That's right, yeah. Having done a all-in-one 36-hour ultra-endurance thing. Yeah, scary, isn't it? Not something that 99.999% of us ever need to worry about, but I think it's worth knowing about just in case you ever need any reasons why you shouldn't do that ultra-endurance event that
someone's
asking
you to do.
We're
just providing knowledge, aren't we?
Basically,
our viewers safeguarded. Anyway, we would obviously, at this point, love to hear from you guys. Anything health-related that you have had after an ultra-endurance ride or repetitive strain syndrome from too much cycling? Or are you the healthiest you've ever been since you started doing endurance sport?
Yeah, anytime we touch on this topic, we always get lots of people with some very, very interesting stories and health outcomes and things.
Yeah.
So, get involved. Contribute, please, to this one down in the comments section. And if there is something that comes up, 100%, we'd like to investigate it, wouldn't we?
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now. We're going to start with the news of the first ever Bike Mechanics European Championships. It took place at Shimano in the Netherlands, and teams from 14 countries took part.
Now, according to the press release, the competitors faced 7 demanding challenges,
ooh,
including, ready?
Yeah.
Drivetrain setup.
Ooh.
Free hub servicing.
Oh.
And hub gear maintenance.
Apparently, the final had a particularly exciting task, which saw the Netherlands ultimately beating Italy.
If I'm honest, I think the ultimate test for a mechanic would be either a junkyard wreck.
Yeah.
Or a modern disc brake road bike with fully internal cabling. I'd like to see him tackle that under pressure.
I think Ellie is a bit tantrums might be the order of the day if you got Europe's best mechanics to compete over internally routing some kind of complex aero road bike.
Is there a world championships? Or is it just confined to European?
I'll be honest with you, I didn't Google whether or not
we'll
there
get
was
back to you
a
next
world
week.
Championships. Yeah. Maybe we should set up our own and maybe we should get them. I seem to remember there was like a Trek Madon from like 6 years ago that was infamously difficult to route cables through. Maybe that should be like the kind of, oh, I'd love to see
that. Might come down to luck though. You know, if you're just one mechanic, the first prod through of the cable, it just appears at the other end.
There is a bit of that, isn't there? Yeah.
You declare a winner.
Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, at the opposite end of the spectrum from Ellie is a bit tantrums, we have to give a shout out to Zoe Baxted from the Canyon SRAM team, who gets the inaugural as mentioned in the intro, Cool Head of the Week Award.
Yes, well done, Zoe. This is amazing, isn't it?
Oh,
so
yeah.
She took the lead in the Simac Ladies Tour on the opening stage time trial, but then started stage two with only one teammate and finished stage two with no teammates at all left. They'd all succumbed to illness and injury.
They had. Poor old Zoe left defending her race lead. It's a World Tour race as well, isn't
it?
With no teammates. But incredibly, she defended her lead, not just for stage two, but for stage three as well. In fact, she only relinquished it on stage four, and I have no idea how she managed that.
Not only did... Well, she did relinquish it, as you pointed out, but not by much.
No.
She still finished third overall, didn't
yeah.
she? However, she did need to share the podium with another random child.
I know.
You weren't happy, were you?
Well, not really. I don't even know whose that one was.
No idea either.
It's just there at the bottom of the picture. Very strange.
Right, change of pace now. And Arkansas, home to the city of Bentonville, which has not so quietly been investing millions of dollars to transform itself into a mountain bike mecca, has now also launched a network of bikepacking routes.
Yeah, so based in Bentonville's neighbour, Fayetteville. Or Fayetteville? Fayetteville? Yeah. What
Fayetteville.
Do you think? Fayetteville.
Yeah.
Fayetteville. Anyway, there are five unique routes, okay, between 60 and 190 miles long, all of which head out into the very attractive looking Ozark Mountains, but they can then potentially be stitched together to get up to a 260 mile mega route. Does it sound nice enough to tempt you out on your first ever bikepacking trip? You could do them all in one ride, couldn't you?
No. No.
No?
No.
Okay. Some Zwift news now. I mentioned this in a video a couple of weeks back, actually, but Zwift has just launched a big new shake-up of how riders are classifying to take part in races, meaning that you can always find a competitive race to ride, but not be out of your depth.
It's called Zwift Racing Score. As well as looking at your physiological parameters, like FTP, it also looks at your results, your tactical skill, and your race strategy.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, sounds like a really good idea, this, right? So the more you do, the more your score can be refined, either up or down, potentially, but effectively meaning that when you enter a race, instead of being a Cat D or a Cat C, you'll be in a band of riders with similar racing scores. It's from 0 to 999, I believe.
Crikey.
Yeah.
You know where you're at?
Yes, because so I did an FTP test, and then it didn't look at my like archive of Zwifting, but it did look at this FTP test. So I got, oh God, I can't remember what, 690 something off the back of
and
that
then
one.
Once it took into account race strategy and IQ, you were down to 200.
Basically, yeah. Thanks.
No worries. Right, staying in the US for
yes,
a moment.
Staying in the US for a moment. The Lifetime Grand Prix announced the events that will make up the series in 2025, and it is looking more streamlined.
It is. Yeah, this is America's biggest off-road series, of course, with a huge prize purse. And for some, this series is the true spirit of gravel.
Yeah, oh yeah, it is. Although, we should point out that half the events are mountain bike races. In fact, that remains for next year. There are only six events and five locations, the final being the Big Sugar doubleheader with one mountain bike race and then one gravel race on consecutive weekends.
Big Sugar being in Bentonville.
In Bentonville, indeed. Interestingly, Sea Otter, which I raced this year on Pinarello's Olympic-winning mountain bike, will be a gravel race next year. And then the other major change is they've reduced the number of invited competitors down. Yeah, they have.
Hopefully
yeah.
that's not down to budget constraints that are leading to said changes.
Well, honestly, I suspect that after the UCI Gravel World Championships a couple of weeks ago, the organisers, Lifetime, are probably not sure what gravel races are anymore, really. They're trying to compete with real gravel, like the kind you find in Belgium.
The kind you find at the World Championships.
That's it, yeah, proper gravel.
I'm pretty sure that is what they are worried about.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, back to budget constraints.
Yeah.
Do you remember the talk of triathlon ace Christian Blumenfeld's plans to leave the sport of triathlon and then focus on winning the Tour de France instead?
We do, yes, all of us do.
I remember it. Well, apparently, he's not going to do that now.
Win the Tour de France?
No. So according to an interview with Try247, it's because he wouldn't make enough money.
So he's just worked out the fault in his plan of winning the Tour de France, and it's that he's not going to be paid enough. It was nothing to do with Tadej Pogacar.
No.
Anything to do with Jonas Vingegaard?
No.
Remco?
No, none of that.
Okay. I mean, he could at least add sock sponsor if he became a pro cyclist.
There is that, yes. But, I mean, he would earn a huge amount of money, wouldn't he, if he won the Tour de France? Maybe not beforehand. It would rely on winning. I mean, but you'd still earn a lot. I don't know the salaries of top triathletes. I mean, I presume he's pretty well paid by personal sponsors, etc. But if you're a half-decent domestique in the modern peloton, you earn quite good money.
Well, I actually checked with our triathlete buddies.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. And James was telling me, well, have a guess. What do you think Blumenfeld's on at the minute?
A year? I would say 600 grand euros.
So the year before this one, so pre-Olympics, he got 400,000 euros in prize money and appearance fees alone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So add into the fact that he's a Red Bull athlete and I don't know who he's sponsored by, but, you know, he's probably got a lot.
Yeah.
And he might not be able to get a sock sponsor, but he's probably got a compression sponsor instead. So he reckoned he'd be north of a million comfortably.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know.
Well, we've both been doing some running recently, haven't we?
Well, yeah.
We've both done cycling in the past, I have.
Yeah.
Just need to add swimming.
I mean, you say just need to add swimming. That is a flaw in the plan.
We did some swimming in the early days of GCN, you might remember.
I do, yeah. Mallorca. Drowning, yeah. No, anyway, basically, yes, he probably would take a pay cut initially, but why on earth has he only just thought of that now?
Mm.
That does strike me as a little bit like, you know, yeah, okay, yeah, no, actually, maybe I don't want to do it anymore because I've realised that I'm going to get my ass kicked.
Yeah. Does it feels like there's a pinch of that, doesn't it? Hack /bodge of the week now, the part of the show that you at home can get involved in by submitting your hacks and or bodges, be they your own or something you've seen out and about. All you need to do is go to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader or just click on the link which you'll find in the description below this video. Right. Ready for the first one?
I'm ready for the first. That took ages, mate.
Sorry, mate.
We're gagging for it.
Yeah, Ken Metcalf sent in this, said, as an engineer, for me, a hack should be, and I thought he was going to define it at this point.
He is,
some people have in the past. Well, kind of, should be as simple as possible and cheap. Training on Zwift during winter here in Cape Town, and even trying Connor's heat training, I noticed a lot of sweat on the bar chat tape. Over time, the salt would ruin it. So for about £1, I got 2 soft dishcloths, raid in a computer box, I use 2 soft Velcro cable managers, and hey presto, I have this. Easy to install, easy to clean, cheap, and no more soggy bar tape.
Well, I mean, technically, Ken, I think you are right in that that probably will save your bar tape. But there's a big part of me that wouldn't want to do tough, grueling indoor training sessions with dishcloths on my handlebars.
They'd be quite comfy though, wouldn't they? I'd like the towel in it. You do get sweaty palms indoor training.
But they're like dishcloths.
What would you use? Towels?
I know I'd use my bar tape and then like...
Yeah, but they do get... It does get... I mean, the corrosion through salt is one thing, but they just get all slippery and horrible. At least if you've got some sort of toweling.
But then it feels like a bike.
You can take it off and wash it.
I don't want my bike to not feel like a bike when I'm doing indoor training. I want to be able to like grab hold of the brake hoods and be like... Argh!
You still can, look.
Well, there you go then. So I wouldn't even hold on to the bit that was saving the bar tape.
But you could just wipe your hands on that bit so that they're then dry for the sprint.
Well, I'm going to say bodge. Sorry, Ken, but that doesn't float my boat. You're
going
to say hack?
I'm going hack, Ken. Well done.
Okay, right. Go on then. Let's see if we can agree on this next one from Robert Kennedy. During the pandemic... Robert Kenny. That was a bit of a slip, wasn't it? During the pandemic, I had to keep busy, so I made a bike storage rack using leftovers that I could find around the house. Apparently, someone, potentially us, slated it. So anyway, Robert has had another go. So I decided if it's worth doing a bodge, it's worth over-bodging. So, went to the hardware store, found some house hooks, a flat piece of pine, and another shower stand, and made this. He's admitted that it would have been cheaper to buy a stand on Amazon. Now, what do we make of this?
Do you think it's all right if I say bodge for a second time on this?
Well, looking at this image of two very bendy-looking flimsy white poles.
With a couple of very nice looking clean bikes.
Yes.
Propped up by them.
I would have to say it's not a problem to call it out as being a botch for the second half, particularly if Robert has spent more money than if he'd bought like a decent one.
Well, exactly.
In the first instance.
I mean, the reason I feel that I can call this a bodge is I feel like I'm capable of making that. Right, and if I'm capable of making it, it's probably a bodge.
I think we all want to see Dan's homemade bike rack, frankly. Mm. I mean, I'd be inclined just to drill those things straight into the wall.
They look so flimsy.
Yeah, they do, don't they? Like, it like, feels like if you brush past that bike, you might accidentally take the whole lot down.
Well, I mean, just I'd just be worried. You know, this is something that worries me, even if I just put pictures up in my own house, that just at some point in the middle of the night, I'm just going to hear a huge crash as they come away from the plaster that I've hung them up on.
Yeah.
I feel the same way if I'd done this. And just looking at this, I feel like there's going to be a point in the middle of the night where both bikes land on top of each other in a big carbon clunky noise.
Yes. I think, Robert, I'm sorry, it's still a bodge. Second time round.
Right, double
just an expensive bodge.
Right, next up, Joe Degenfielder said, I'm a trail ambassador for a local multi-use trail. A trail ambassador.
That's cool, isn't it?
That's cool, yeah. Which involves a clean-up of the trail from any trash or tree debris. Since I take my responsibilities far too seriously, I took a couple of cheap brooms and attached them to the back of my old bike. Not quite 100% efficient, but it does a good job of sweeping leaves, twigs, and tree nuts off the trail. I always get a lot of smiles from passers-by as well.
Oh, I'm not surprised you get smiles. They must be looking at you going, what on earth is that guy doing? For those of you that can't see this, Joe has uploaded a video of him towing his brush contraption, which seems to flick the leaves up into the air, whereupon they land exactly where they came from. In the middle of the trail.
Well, a bit further up or down the trail, but still on the trail.
Yes. To my mind, Joe, this is basically the cycling version of a leaf blower, which is to say a very, very ineffectual means of cleaning leaves.
I've got a leaf blower.
I know you do. And I don't, like, I mean, but in your defence, you have places that you need to blow leaves off where you can't go with a brush or a rake or something.
But lots of nooks and crannies.
Yeah. The thing that annoys me is when I see someone blowing leaves off tarmac on a windy day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing? Because they're just blowing straight back on tarmac. You could have had a brush and made them into a nice little pile.
Yeah.
Not made a noise.
Oh, yeah. On my lawn, a rake. It's easier.
There you go. Yeah.
On the multitude of steps I seem to have going up a bank on the other side of my garden. Leaf blower all the way.
Yeah. Have you had to blow yet this year?
No. I've got lots of different types of trees in the back garden, and annoyingly, all the leaves seem to come off in different months of the year. Start in early September and don't finish till Christmas.
So your technique this year is just not to bother until January 1st?
Well, I have used that technique once before. The problem was, in those months where they all were falling down, they all gathered like at sides of the lawn and killed all the grass.
How did they?
On those sides. And now I have to sort of do it tactically every couple of weeks or so.
Really?
Yeah, well, I haven't done it yet.
That's tough, isn't it?
Anyway.
I wonder you haven't had much time to ride bikes.
I'm going to say bodge.
I'm saying bodge.
Just looking at that video, it does look like it's not. It's just moving the leaves to a similar place on the trail, isn't it?
Joe, we salute you for your trail ambassadorship. Yeah. But I feel like that might be a token gesture.
Hmm. Right, then. Last one comes in from Dan. I promised a friend that I'd service his bike's disc brakes. Being a roadie, I forgot that my funnel didn't fit the Shimano mountain bike field port until I'd removed his criminally worn pads and rendered his bike unrideable. I didn't want to leave him stranded, so I had a quick look around the garage, found this unused silicone sealant nozzle, and managed to cut threads into it using the bleed port. Instant ghetto hydraulic fluid funnel. Worked great and got his brakes fully sorted. Oh, this is genius.
It is. I mean, I feel like brake bleeding is sort of like up there with 3D printing for me, which is to say that it's something that I know is probably not that hard, but I've just never had to actually do before. Because
I had to do it for a video 11 years ago. I've got completely forgotten how you do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, we are in a very privileged position, both of us, haven't we, that since disc brakes have been invented, we've worked at GCN.
Mm.
So, it's like, I feel like now it's a bike shop job for me.
Yeah.
Which is awful, because it doesn't need to be like that. It can be super easy, can't it? As Dan has just shown us with his homemade setup.
What I find is that if you don't use a disc brake, you don't need bleeding either.
Oh my God, yeah, okay. No, I think this is one of those ones where I'm like, is that dangerous? I don't think it is, actually. I think that's just a hack.
Yeah, I'm going to hack for that.
Yeah, okay. I mean, there are the ones where you need the syringes, aren't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, no. So, presumably this one, you're okay. Dan, it's a hack, tentatively, yeah. From both of us.
Well done, Dan.
It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comments section down below and we'll pick a winner next week. In fact, we'll start with a winner, shall we, from last week.
Let's do that. Last week's photo was this one from the podium of the German race that I couldn't remember last week and still can't remember this week.
The Sparkasse in Munsterland, I think, from memory.
Yeah, the one that you read off the bat last week and again this week.
Yep.
The winner is Neil M. Don, who put, blimey, I thought you said free alcohol. These are alcohol-free beers.
Yes.
People listening, 0%.
I think that's quite clever.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Neil, well done.
I wouldn't say it's a lol, but you know, I think that's good. But it's certainly worthy this week of a GCN Camelback water bottle. So get in touch, Neil, and we'll send you one out. This week's photo, it's quite an amusing-looking photo as it is. This is Christine Majerus trying to squeeze between an entire peloton worth of front wheels.
Indeed. It wasn't just... So the reason for this is Maris is coming to the end of her career. That was her last race for SD Works Pro Time. Same for Alice Barnes and Audrey Cordon-Rigaud. So given that walk of respect, I guess, from
that's
the rest
cool,
of the
it?
Pro Peloton. But anyway, I'll get you started. At the CIMAC Ladies Tour, UCI commissaires faced nightmare photo finish. So maybe ISAC edits our vids can prop it on its side.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of works, doesn't it?
Explain the joke.
I like that, mate. I like that. Right, if you think you can better Dan's caption, or, as is probably more likely, beat it, then get involved in the comment section down below. We'll pick a winner next week.
We're shortly going to let you know what cracking content we've got coming up for you this week on GCN. But first up, a few favourite comments from the last week's worth of video, starting, as ever, with a few from underneath last week's GCN show. This one came in from John Rogers, who said, "Gravel to me... it's anything unreasonable on a road bike, but that doesn't need a mountain bike." I like the definitions of gravel.
I think that's a good definition, John. So this was off the back of the Gravel World Championships that, as always, caused controversy for whether or not it was gravelly enough or hard enough or within the spirit of gravel or whether or not... Anyway, there was a lot of comments.
I noticed that there were a lot of comments from people that hadn't ridden the event telling you how wrong you were.
Yes,
and ridden the event.
Quite a few people who were telling us what it was like, having apparently not even seen Gravel World Championships either. Shane Mundane said, "It's ironic how things have evolved from the spirit of gravel to the snobbery about true gravel. People don't seem to just be able to enjoy a good race on its own anymore." And that is true, isn't it? That the spirit of gravel has now become a little bit snobbery.
Yeah. Oh, a special guest. Come on in.
We do have a special guest. We've got a special guest for a reason. We're going to fast forward now through a few comments. Ollie, come on in.
Right, it's basically live at this point.
But it does feel live. Wow. Right, so comments of the week on from Ollie's Monte Grappa challenge. Filippo Zabora said, "I'm from Bassano del Grappa, which is the town at the bottom of Monte Grappa. I can't express in words what Ollie was able to do. For amateur cyclists here in Monte Grappa, just riding up it is considered an achievement. Already doing it one time is huge. I can't imagine what it can be like doing it for 10 times. Big kudos to Ollie."
Mm. Yeah.
It doesn't end there.
No, no
right,
more.
Okay.
I mean, there's about 1,000. We've only got two or three, but allow us to continue reading. Marv Minninger put, "You have a van, but no track pump. Absolutely love the quality of your videos, GCN. Well done, Ollie." There were quite a few people who pointed out that you might have had great mates cheering you on, but they weren't very well prepared
for
a puncture.
I think this is on Connor and, not Connor, I mean, this is on Hank and Alex.
Alex.
Yeah. I feel like I did my job.
Hank, I would expect it of, going somewhere with a pump. Alex. Anyway, the last comment we picked out is from Paul Oosterhout, who said, "I hope GCN awards a wattage bazooka for this ride." Now, we are not awarding Ollie a wattage bazooka, but we have made a little something.
Really?
Yeah, wow. We have. When we say we, it was nothing to do with me and Dan, but far more talented people here.
Yeah, on the viewers. Ollie's genuinely not seen this yet, have you?
No, I haven't, no.
But there it is for the viewers. We'll get a close-up from Isaac. I edit our vids in a minute. But here you go.
Oh, wow! That's amazing!
There you go, mate.
30 sheep. And yeah, a wild, two wild boar.
First
and
thing
the
that stands out to him. First thing you got excited about, actually.
Yeah. Oh, there's a wolf there as well. Yeah, I did see a wolf, and then I was quite scared. But then Hank came back in the car, and I felt safe again.
There you go. He might not have a track pump, but having Hank around when there are wolves,
to wrestle a wolf to the ground.
Yeah,
yeah, that was good. There was a lot of frogs as well, toads.
I don't think we got them.
No, but they are in the video. You can see that there's a big, really good close-up shot of a toad. There were a lot of toads on the road. It was really quite weird.
There you go. Well, anyway, mate,
it's amazing.
It's a nice reminder
for you. Thanks so much for that.
But yeah, well done again, mate, because that was serious epic. If you've not seen Ollie's Montegrappa Challenge from the weekend, you really should. Put it on your TV. It's one of those, isn't it? Stick it on your TV.
Epic ride and epic watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Great team effort, but Ollie, wowzers.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
Hopefully you don't get PTSD or anything looking at that now.
Thanks so much for all the comments on it as well. The comments on it are very sort of humbling and nice to read. Such amazing comments and people really enjoying it. So, yeah, thanks so much.
How's the wrist?
My wrist, which is definitely a cycling injury.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Is getting better.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. I'm resting it. Yeah.
Well done, mate.
Thanks. Nice one.
Right. Well done, mate.
That was nice to see him, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right, we're going back to the GCN show now, aren't we?
Yeah.
So we were talking about the spirit of gravel and how actually the spirit of gravel now for some seems to be the snobbery of gravel.
Yeah.
And then the last comment I thought we should have on the subject of whether it was gravel enough, was from Mockle07. From what I can tell, it didn't look like Unbound, so everyone is losing their minds, especially in America. So I think there was a lot of that, wasn't it? When people picture gravel racing, they picture Unbound.
Yeah.
And that's that. Maybe that is gravel racing, I don't know.
Maybe. Well, I guess when the World Championships take place on that course at some point, maybe never
imagine,
will.
Imagine
anyway,
that.
The comment that you're all waiting for, though, was saved to now.
Yeah.
From Mockle07.
Oh no, Timothy M. Burton.
Oh, sorry, Timothy M. Burton, yeah. God, I'm so flustered with Ollie coming in and being so delighted with his little gift. Anyway, Timothy M. Burton wrote in saying, a glockenspiel has metal keys and a shorter range. A xylophone is made out of wood, rosewood in particular, for the nice ones.
Timothy, honestly, I'm delighted that you wrote in to clarify the difference between a glockenspiel and a xylophone. So, there we go. I feel like I'm slightly richer now for having watched this GCN show.
Yeah.
So hopefully some of you out there, maybe we should have a few more random little factoids like that people could just contribute.
Well, I very rarely comment on a video. I just never think to. I don't even like them, even though I really like. I'm the same on Instagram. If I really, really, really like something, I might double click.
Social media Scrooge.
I like it in my own head. Yeah, and I'm the same on YouTube videos. But I mean, it's great reading all of the comments.
Yeah.
But if it was just, do you know what? I sometimes think this about. I went to see a comedian the other night.
Okay.
And I'm laughing inside my own head, but I am thinking, if everyone was like me, this place would have no atmosphere at all, because I'm just there. Anyway,
I love the thought of you just sat there in the audience going like,
well, I did a bit of this. You know, like internal chuckling. I did laugh out loud at some bits, but you know, some people are cackling away from the first moment.
That's
and I'm
amazing.
Not warmed up to this yet.
Don't be like Dan. We love likes and comments and shares.
Oh no,
our
I love
videos.
Reading them. I love reading.
No, but
them.
As in you've got to do it. Otherwise, anyway, don't be like Dan, please. Yeah. Right, what's coming up on the channel for you lot to like and comment on over the next few days?
Well, on Thursday, it's GCN presenters Aero Positions getting roasted.
Yeah, this is a sobering one. The aerodynamics guru Dan Bigham was shown video clips of GCN presenters, and it's pretty tough, I see. Yeah. So anyway, hopefully you will learn something from Dan's criticism of our aero positions.
It does get harder to get aero as you get older, doesn't it?
Well, yeah.
That story I told you when I was out doing the GCN Plus doc in Flanders. where we had this beautiful tracking shot. I thought, well, I'll get really aero for this. And I felt really aero. And then when I watched the tracking shot, it was beautiful, but I was not aero.
Well, so the
title... I looked like bolt upright.
The working title for this video was, you're not as aero as you think you are. Basically, like, all of us go, oh, I'm going to get well aero now. And then actually what happens when someone who knows what they're talking about has a look? Mm. And, it's pretty brutal. Anyway, on Saturday, this is one I'm super looking forward to, okay? We all know that professional cycling is getting faster and faster. This year in particular, Tour de France, when Marco Pantani's records fell, I think it raised a lot of eyebrows, didn't it? So Connor has been out doing some borderline journalism, some might say,
almost,
to actually find out what on earth is going on, okay? So that one is well worth a watch, I think, for sure. And on Sunday, we've just been talking about Monte Grappa with Ollie. We also mentioned Bassano del Grappa, which is like a little-known cycling mecca. So we're going to lift the lid on that one for you.
Mm, very good.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for all the likes and all the comments. I just need to just comment on a video that I watched this week.
Break your duck. Yeah. You mean? Once you started commenting,
I reply to people on our videos that comment sometimes.
Yeah.
Quite a lot, actually.
You do a lot.
I just don't comment on anybody else's.
No.
Anyway,
anyway,
that's my to-do list for this week. But thanks for watching. See you next week.